Hey, Vanya, how are you? We were talking about your blonde hair.
Hi, Mike Jensen. Yes, we were. I have blondish hair. It is weird. I am not sure if I like it because I always have black hair all my life. Or let's just say I'm the brownest of the browns before black.
Gotcha. Yes.
So yeah, it's a transition. I wanted to do something different. I thought it would be fun. I just feel like it might look like I'm trying to cover silver hair coming out of your head. So, and I don't want to look like I'm getting older because I'm going to be a BB for the rest of my life. Or maybe I could just, you know, gracefully go silver, and how beautiful would that be?
Do you have a lot of silver in your hair naturally?
You know what? The pandemic, I'm not kidding. I think the stress, I had some, but I have like a lot now.
Interesting.
In this last 2 years, I have a lot. And I just wonder, is it related to stress? Does anyone know? I guess I could look that up.
I mean, yeah.
But yeah, I definitely have a lot now.
I've heard that can be, I've had a certain amount of gray in my hair for a while. I have a lot of gray like in my like beard and my facial hair too.
Yeah.
I have weird gray, like almost looks like streaks, like here. No one can see what I'm doing, but like here and here, like I have like these like streaks of gray.
Yeah, he's touching his pubes right now, so.
Pants are down, showing the gray.
Just kidding. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
I like it. Well, I really like your hair. I think it looks great.
Thank you.
And I'm thinking of doing some blonde stuff too. So it's hairspiration. Yeah, I think I might go a little light. I used to go blonde all the time. I'm looking at a picture of myself right now that I posted that people might have seen where I'm so blonde.
So blonde.
And it was a lot of sun in. Remember sun in?
I do. Yeah, I do remember sun in.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of sun in. Yeah, how's your week been? You've been working a lot?
Yeah, it's been busy. I actually got to go to Palm Springs this weekend, which was super fun.
Oh, fun.
And so we had a lot of fun. We went to the Living Desert, which is a zoo out there. And what else did we do? We ate lots of food. There's a really good Mexican place I love out there.
Yeah.
Remember, it's the same one that we were supposed to go for my birthday. But we went to the wrong location.
Yeah. We went to the wrong location.
I was so upset because there's one that's like the outdoor huge and they have like, you know, bands play. And that's the one that I wanted to go for my birthday, but I booked it. It was my fault. I booked the other location that had no problem getting us, 12 people in or whatever it was. Whatever, it's fine. I forgive myself.
It was still fun, though. It was. That was a fun little stay in Palm Springs for your birthday that one time.
Yeah. Well, but otherwise, this week has been just I'm, you know, solo with the chillos and taking care of everybody, making everybody sure he's fed and goes to their thing.
Right. Wait.
And making sure I do my job, get paid.
Tell me more about the Living Desert. What is that like?
Oh, it's amazing. It's a zoo. It's like, but they're all of the animals have so much land to roam on. So it's incredible. The kids were able to feed the giraffes, and they have a rhino, and we saw a leopard.
Oh, wow.
Mike, the next time you come, we have to do this. It was beautiful. What else? Oh, I love the meerkats. There was a new baby meerkat that had just been born. And even though he was like only a couple days old, even though they were tiny, they still like stood up just like their mommy and daddy and did the whole like, you know, looking around. It was so cute. Oh my God.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's adorable. I mean, Amelia must have loved that.
Oh yeah, she did. Absolutely. And then my daughter also is pretty funny. She just talked. There's a lot of age range in Palm Springs, but let's say the majority of people who live there are, you know, 65 plus.
Yeah.
So she found a couple to chat with along the way. I'm like, can you just stop talking to them? They don't want to hear what you have. I mean, they probably thought it was cute, but yeah. She had a good time.
That's really funny.
Animals and old people. I'm sorry.
Animals and old people. Yeah, that was a good trip. That's fun. Well, I definitely would love to go do that. Nothing like majors happened this week. I had a really weird incident at the restaurant where I had like a table disappear.
Oh.
And we didn't know, but they went to the downstairs. Like I knew they hadn't gone out a door, but they like disappeared, but like left a few things at the table. But it's that weird thing where you're like, did they leave an umbrella? Because it doesn't cost as much as their food. Like, did they but they didn't. Like, the manager went to find them and they were both in a bathroom together, and who knows what was going on in there.
Drugs or sex,
maybe both. Yeah, it was very, very odd, because then they came back and then she left, and then I went to like say good, like take him the check and all that, and he was like, I gotta go fast, she took off, I don't know where she is, I gotta go find her. It was just a weird, like, one of those weird restaurant things where you're like, I'm not really part of your life.
Yeah, you're like, I don't want to be part of your life. Can you just leave me out of it? Give me your card. Let's do this quickly. I'll get you.
It was very odd. And honestly, we're going to get more to restaurant stuff later because it's a whole thing that I'm going to talk about.
Ooh.
But yeah, I had a nice, like, I went for a really nice, like, long walk last night with my friend Ben, and like sort of recreated one of the long walks that I used to do where I kind of like go up and then across High Bridge into the Bronx and then kind of like walk down to Yankee Stadium and then kind of walk around. Like, it's a nice little like loop into the Bronx and back. But I will say that we witnessed a car accident.
Oh my God, Mike.
Yeah,
it was
very like very like no one was hurt. Like it was I don't want to say it was minor because it was kind of violent. Like one car ran a red light and
it's
like
it's so loud.
Like we had just been talking about he had been on a train ride where they thought they'd heard gunshots and they still don't know if it was or wasn't, but
that's
we were literally talking about that and then this huge like noise, like we thought it was like a gunshot. I mean, he thought it was. I saw the car accident happen, so I knew what it was, but it was pretty like jarring. And like the one person gets out and it's like screaming at the other person about like, the light is red. The light was red. Like it was very, very intense.
That's terrifying.
And we just kind of kept walking. So I don't know. I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then we ended up going to a little sushi restaurant in the neighborhood that I've been doing takeout from. Like the one that I walked to in the monsoon to get my takeout sushi.
Yes.
We went and actually sat down and it was kind of fun to like be it. It was weird because I think it was like one woman who was doing everything. She was like the bartender and the host and the only server.
Oh God.
And so we kind of like, yeah, it was kind of it, like, so we sort of sat for a minute and then we kind of like got up to, we were like, let's just maybe go someplace, because it was seeming like it wasn't going to be great. And then it all ended up fine. She came over, was like, I'm here, I got you, blah blah blah. And it was actually like a lovely experience of like
good
sitting in this restaurant that I've gone to. And then I was going to bring up the fact that like it was an interesting week because I did the last episode of my other podcast that I do,
yeah,
following the And Just Like That. And then of course today as I was like, oh, last episode, they just announced that they're coming back for season two. So
no way.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be back for that at some point too. And yeah, anyways,
that's good.
That's kind of it. We have, you know, the Academy Awards are coming up this Sunday,
that's
which is
right.
exciting.
Yep, that's right.
Do you have any thoughts on the idea that they're going to be presenting certain categories during commercial breaks? Do you have any feelings about that?
I don't like it. I feel like everyone's equal. Well, I'm sure they do it for time and whatever, but I feel like it's they're never gonna be, you know, doing supporting actress or whatever during the break, or you know, it's always something that somehow they in their minds can like, oh, this is less that people don't want to see this. I don't like it. I feel like let's be equal here.
Yeah, I have really mixed feelings on it because the Academy Awards are one of the only award ceremonies that does show every award during the ceremony. Like the Tony Awards present things during commercial breaks and pre.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And like the Grammys only show like, legitimately show like five awards and there are like 70 Grammys.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I guess that what I think about it is that if the purpose is that people aren't watching, no one's not watching because they're presenting best costume during the ceremony.
No.
Like no one's like, I don't want to watch this. I don't know. It just feels a little misguided. And I don't know what the better suggestion is. I know there have been years where all the nominees have either been on stage or like just off stage. So it's been a faster.
Okay. So I'm
getting up there kind of thing.
Yeah. I guess I'm all for a tight, more entertaining show. Yes.
Right.
That's all. But
yeah, no, I agree. And I just think that there's a better way to do it. I don't know. And I guess that I also think like, this is because of boring speeches. Like I've seen like costume designers or like short film like give amazing cool
yeah.
speeches that are inspiring. And so I guess part of me is just like, what if you're like, hey guys, give a good speech or we're cutting your category next year. It doesn't really work that way. But,
Mike,
yeah.
You're so hardcore. You're like, sit down, Lady Gaga. Hey, listen, if you don't have a good speech, we're cutting your category.
And we're going to blame you. We're going to be like, this category is going to be before the show because last year so-and-so gave a bad speech.
Yeah,
so lesson to everyone,
yeah.
Give a good speech. Maybe we'll put you back on the show. So I'm sure next week will be all about the Academy Awards, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to that.
Excited.
And then I'm seeing Company tonight. I'm going to go
oh,
to...
Fun.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. It's our friend Patrick's birthday was technically yesterday.
That's right.
And yeah, so we're going to go. So he bought us tickets. I mean, happy birthday to him that we're here. But I'm very excited. So I'll probably talk a little about that next week too, because I'm very excited to go and see Company.
That's great.
So there you go. There's my week and next week in a quick 6 minutes there.
Mitchell.
So what's up? What's going on? What are you digging this week?
I'm afraid that what I'm digging might be what you're digging.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to start by giving an honorable mention. I already had said The Gilded Age, but oh my God, I'm loving it. I love the costume. It's amazing. I just read this Vanity Fair article on The Gilded Age and the guy, Julian Fellows, who wrote it.
Uh-huh.
And apparently he came upon this story of, like, real life story of Alva Vanderbilt's historic 1883 ball and her astonishingly shrewd machinations, which essentially forced New York's Queen Bee, Caroline Astor, into attendance. Anyways, it's just amazing.
I want to read that.
Adam and I are enjoying it. I'll send you the article. Yeah, it's called The Gilded Age Finale Ball Real Life.
That's really cool.
The pictures are great of the olden times, you know?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so the thing that I'm really digging, and if it's what you're also digging...
It's fine.
Maybe it's not.
We'll see.
Maybe it's not. Okay, so I just started watching the show on Hulu.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's gonna be our first double dig in. I kind of wondered if we'd have a double dig in week.
Double digging. I love it. So the show is Life and Beth. Amy Schumer, guys. Everybody knows Amy Schumer. So I'm loving the show. I guess it's kind of like about her real life, but it's basically, after a sudden incident, Beth, a seemingly successful woman with a long-term relationship and steady career, takes a look back at her past to see who she wants to become. I really like it. So she's in the city, she's a wine salesperson, and you're kind of like, my God, her life seems a little depressing. And by the way, her mom is played by Laura Benanti. I'm like, wait. I mean, obviously, she's not old enough, but she did such a good job playing her mother. I don't want to give anything away. But the characters she meets are amazing. And Michael Cera, I think, probably is sort of her husband in not real life, but like kind of like inspired by.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I'm truly loving it. I love that it's 30 minutes. I love that it has moments where I want to cry. I love it.
Yeah, double dig in. I texted you a few nights ago that I was so excited to talk about the thing that I'm digging this week that I thought I was going to throw up. Yeah. I love it so much. And I don't want to caveat it at all. It does every once in a while dip into like sort of absurdist territory, which isn't my favorite thing.
Sure.
But like, I don't care. I love it so much. And I mean, I love Amy Schumer in general. Like, I'm a big fan of hers. Like, I love her brand of comedy. The scene, Laura Benanti, oh my gosh. And yeah, I immediately looked it up because Laura Benanti's 2 years older than Amy Schumer. It all makes, like, her casting makes complete sense once you, like, get into the series, as you well know. Like, it totally makes sense for her to be playing that role.
We do some flashbacks and stuff. So.
It's a lot of flashbacks. So you see her at a different age. She's so good. Their scene in the dressing room.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that.
It's so good. And because it's so real. It's so real.
It's cringe, guys.
It's cringe, but it's so real. And Amy Schumer being so irritated with her mom, but just being like, I love you. Like,
yeah, it's like her subtext is like, I want you to shut the f- up, you know, but she's going, I love you. I have to go. I love you, mom. Okay.
It's so good. And it's so well cast. Like, and I love that you see like, so, like, I just feel like everyone said yes.
Agreed.
Like, I love that in the first episode, it's Janelle James, who we talked about from Abbott Elementary, who, like, has a small role in the dressing room. Like, just so many people that show up for, like, a couple of lines. Yeah, so you know my rule that I won't watch more than one episode of something. I watch two episodes a night. I've watched eight.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish. I'm treating it as a 5-part series instead of a 10-part series because I can't. Yeah, I love it so much. I just think it's so funny and so heartfelt. Yeah, I love it. I love that that's what you brought up too. And I've been waiting for the time when we choose the same thing on the same week. I knew it was going to happen, and it makes sense that it's this week.
Yeah, because it just came out.
Right. Yeah, it just came out. And, you know, they dropped all 10 at the same time, which isn't my favorite thing. Like, I do like a week. I know that you like them all
coming out
together.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. I like the week to week. I also think it's funny, and I, you know... Amy and my friend Amy, Amy Schumer and Bridget Everett are friends.
Yeah.
And I wonder if they had any kind of conversation, because there are some really similar themes that run through them.
Agreed.
And I sort of love that, like, Murray Hill is a fairly major supporting character in both shows.
Oh my God.
Like, there is a certain amount of crossover. Yeah, it's... I love it so much. I think that it's such a great series. I hope that it's getting acknowledged, and I hope that it gets another season.
I hope so too. Oh my God, the flash mob in the first episode, or this is the second one. It's the second episode. Ooh, the flash mob. She's like, no.
I just
no.
Yeah, I think that anyone that knows me knows that if you ever want to, like, propose to me, don't do a flash mob. Like, that's, it's so upsetting to me. Like, it's so, like, it, like, hurts my entire body. That scene hurt all of me. I was just like, oh, this is so awful. It's so awful. Yeah, it's so much fun. I also love that you brought up the Gilded Age, because I was going to bring that up as well, just because the finale was last night. You're not all caught up, are you?
I'm not all the way caught up, no.
I won't spoil anything other than
Am I going to be upset?
No, it's so satisfying. Oh. It's a very, very, it's very satisfying. It's not all great. I'm not going to say everything goes perfect. Like, there's definitely some tragedy and some stuff that, you know, so there are moments that are upsetting, but, like, overall, I felt like it was a very satisfying finish. I'm also really enjoying it. I feel like one of our listeners, I don't know if it's someone that we know or a listener, sent you a link to the podcast that HBO does.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed that. I've listened to, like, the first 5 episodes in the last couple of days. Just, it's super fun. I feel like I should listen to the Bowery Boys, which is a podcast about the history of New York, because I love New York historical stuff.
Yeah,
it's one of the guys that does that podcast, and then a woman who works with, like, classic television and classic, like, film, and knows a lot about that. So it's really fun, because they kind of, like, break down the episode and tell you what's historically accurate. So kind of similar to what that article is. Yeah. And then every episode has usually 2 guests on. Like, the first one is Julian Fellows and Christine Baranski. So it's talking about it. It's really fun. Like, so I highly suggest listening to that podcast too if you're into the series.
That sounds great.
And then I really quickly also felt like I want to give one more shout out, because I guess between the two of us, we're only covering, like, 3 things. So that's pretty good, actually. I did finally sit down and watch the movie Flea. I don't know if we've talked about that on here or not. It's the first film ever to be nominated for documentary, animated, and international feature film. It falls into all 3 categories. It's not completely animated. I would say it's like 90%. And a big part of it is because we can't know who the main character is, because he could get in trouble or be in danger because of what is revealed in this documentary. But it's really fascinating about a guy who, as a young boy, had to flee from Afghanistan and ended up in Russia trying to get to Europe. And, you know, once again, I mean, so many parallels to what's happening now, but I suppose that's because it's happening all the time, like the constant refugee issues that happen throughout the world. And it's just it's short. It's like 89 minutes long. So it's a pretty quick journey. It's on Hulu, so it's easy to find. I think it's definitely worth watching. I think it's a fascinating story. And so much of it is very hard, but there's also moments of, like, beauty. Like, there's a couple moments that, like, really felt inspiring to me. So
I love that.
Just So Flea on Hulu. Check it out.
Oh, great.
I think it's definitely worth it. I don't know that it's a front runner in any of those 3 categories, which is kind of a bummer, because to be nominated in all 3 and probably not to win any of them, it would be kind of a bummer. But anyways, whatever brings it attention.
Yeah.
Flea on Hulu. Check it out.
I will.
So there you go. So what could you do without? Because I have a whole speech.
Okay,
so
well, I'm excited. I'll get mine done quickly, because what I could do without, and I know that we said we don't do art, but...
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I think this was actually, at one point, it was one of my diggins.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And so it's changed. I've changed my mind. So, you know the podcast Smartless?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I used to love it in the beginning, especially during the pandemic. They were, you know, it's Sean Hayes, Jason Bateman, and Will Arnett. And it says, Smartless with Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, and Will Arnett is a podcast that connects and unites people from all walks of life to learn about shared experiences. Whatever. Okay. So here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
I used to like it. I can't listen to it anymore because I feel like if they're not jerking each other off in the most beautiful way possible, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, just you're amazing. Oh my God, yeah. You're so amazing. I'm like, shut up. Just be cool. Take a note from Terry Gross, please, because ask some goddamn good questions. It's like nobody, they ask like maybe three questions throughout the, because they all get distracted and go on to different. Jason Bateman, guys, I can't handle him. I can't. He'll like rephrase a question six times, and then it was funny in the beginning because his friends Sean and Will would just talk shit about him, and it was funny. But at this point, I'm like, oh my God, will someone stop him? I can't listen to him. Like, he's so self-absorbed in my mind, and he's probably just a nightmare partner because, I just can't handle him. I'm not mad at him. I'm just okay to not listen to their podcast anymore, all of them. So, you know, that's. I mean, a week ago, Kate Blanchett was on, and I didn't even get to listen to that one. But I listened to a recent one where, like, Eddie Vedder was on, and they barely let him talk. I was like, what the actual, you know? So I'm annoyed by it. I could do without people not having, and I'm not saying I'm an amazing podcaster, but I'm also not interviewing people, so... Boom.
Yeah, I had a podcast like that, and I it's hard when there's a certain like self-congratulatory thing that is really aggravating to listen to.
That's what it is.
Where I'm like, oh, I know you're both so pretty. Yeah. You know, I've had a couple of those where I'm like, I just cannot do this anymore. Yeah, and you know, I'm all for positivity, and I'm all for like. Love, but yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah,
totally,
I'm just taking a break. I'm not done forever, but I'm taking a break because my time is very precious. When I have time to listen to something, it's either your podcast or my other friend's podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I really want it to be quality, and I feel like it was a waste of my hour and a half.
I feel you. Yeah, I got that. So mine that I wanted to talk about, and I'll try to not get too ranty.
Get ranty.
But it's... It sort of heralds back to a thing that I was talking about earlier. I just could do without people who don't seem to know how to function in a restaurant. So I just want to say a few things about dining out. One thing, an hour and 6 minutes into the dining experience is not the time to tell the person taking care of you that you're in a hurry. Because I had that the other day where I was like trying to pace this experience for this group, and here's the other thing that I think people maybe don't understand. If you order appetizers, your entrees will take longer to come out. I think that's true. There's this weird idea of like, well, while they're cooking our entrees, we should have this appetizer. No, I mean, and I'm not saying don't order an appetizer, but like, be aware, like this table wouldn't eat their appetizers, so I wasn't bringing their entrees because they clearly were like taking their time and just sort of like sitting and hanging and relaxing. And I was like, well, that's fine. Like, we don't need the table back. I'll let them take their time. And they called me over like, we're kind of in a situation where we have to get out of here pretty soon. And I was like, you're telling me? It was just, and they were actually really nice. Like, they were super, super sweet. And I said to them, I was like, oh, I was just sort of following your cues because it seemed like you were taking your time. And they're like, oh, no. Oh, thanks. Well, and it all ended up fine. But I guess it was confusing to me because I've had it, and I've had friends who've had experiences where tables have gotten irritated with them that their entrees are taking a long time to come. But their entrees were taking a long time to come because they weren't eating their appetizers.
Right.
So I guess that's also just an example of like, if you don't care about that, then let your person taking care of you know, hey, they can, I don't know. Like there's a weirdness to that to me where, once again, like your server's probably just taking your cues.
Yeah. And I've definitely been in enough situations where like you get your appetizer and then the food comes out right away and I'm like, hello. So fast.
Yeah.
So fast. So
it's a strange, I don't know. Because then I also had the instance, oh, here's another thing that always gets me. When I put a check presenter down and then the person like is waving the check presenter at me because their credit card is inside the check presenter where I can't see it. And I'm like, if you just put your card where I can see it, I want to process your payment for you.
I want you to leave.
Yeah, it's just weird stuff like that. And here's the other thing. This is a thing that I've thought about bringing up before, and it's such a weird thing. But if you're going to order a salmon, you should know how you like your salmon cooked.
Right. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Just a thing to think about. I'm not saying you're a bad person if you don't, but I'm just always amazed that like 85% of the time that someone orders the salmon and I say, how would you like that cooked? They look at me like I'm an insane person.
They're like, done? or
what? Yeah. Just medium rare, anything like that works. You know, I'm not going to be offended if you say medium well. It's okay. Just know how you want it cooked. It's a pretty, it's a basic thing. There you go. There's some little just certain things that like throw me when I'm like, have you done this before?
Wow, yeah.
That's all.
We're learning, Mike, though. I think it's good to keep educating the people on.
So yeah, so I'm trying to state it in a non-judgmental way of just like, here are some things to think about when you go out to eat. So there you go. That's all.
I think it's great. I love it.
So what I wanted to talk about this week, our little topic, is I wanted to talk about our relationship with sleeping, which I don't know if that's a weird topic or not, but I've never had a good relationship with sleep ever. Like, as fairly young, I remember lying in bed until 2 or 3 in the morning and not being able to sleep and then having to get up at like 5 to do a paper route and then get to school. And it's never, I've always had issues with it. And I know I have friends who will be like going to bed and then they go to sleep. And it boggles my mind because I just don't have that. And I've gone through periods where I've done like the melatonin and it doesn't do anything for me. I don't know. And I don't really want to be a sleeping pill person. Not, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I know that there are people that like that's how they keep their sleep cycle. I don't know. I don't love pills in general. And I know that I recognize that like I'm also sort of in the middle of something, you know, but it's gotten really bad. Like I legit probably went to bed at like 6 o'clock this morning.
Oh, wow. That's.
And I've been, and I've been setting an alarm, not for super early, but for like late 10, early 11 kind of thing. So I'm making myself get up and I keep thinking that by doing that, I'll be sleepy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What's your relationship with sleep?
Well, no, I think it's great. I was obsessed with this subject when I had my first baby because I remember reading, I think it was not Tina, it was Amy Poehler's book.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how her mom and her parents always told her that she was a horrible sleeper, and she's also sort of in your position too, I think. But I wonder in my mind when I read that, I think it was before I had my kids, is like maybe she's a horrible sleeper because someone always was like, you never slept, you're a bad sleeper, this and that. So I also just wanted to get on it. So with both of our kids, we did the sleep training thing at like 10 weeks. Which is kind of intense, but it worked for them. And I'm hoping that that will foster like good sleep for them later. Right now we're dealing with some, you know, a 4-year-old being scared, being afraid of the dark and all that stuff. And it's awful. It's really horrible for us because we're not getting sleep. But that being said, I would say since when I was a kid, I hated going to sleep. Part of it maybe was that I was scared. But I was also like, I just couldn't shut my brain out. I wanted to do things. I was one of those kids who like would read until 2 o'clock in the morning and be like, couldn't keep my eyes open at school. But I'm also, I think part of the thing is for me, and maybe I'm just projecting because of how I am now, because my time is so precious. But like staying up late, even for me as a kid though, was my time. Like nobody else's time, it's mine. And that is, I'm a free will human being. And that was like, why I didn't ever want to let it go and go to sleep. But in reality, sleeping is so good for us. It helps us like look better and be healthier in our bodies and all these things. So I still stay up too late, not as late as you do, but I also get up way earlier. I mean, I sleep 6 hours a night, about 5 to 6 daily, which is probably more, I mean, definitely more than you slept last night, but like that's kind of the habit I'm in right now. But I did try, of course I got distracted, but I tried and started to watch a masterclass on sleep, and they talk a lot about alcohol, which sucks. It can really disrupt your sleep, and or like making sure you have to just kind of know yourself, like, do you work out in the morning? Do you work at night? What, you know, how do you feel after you work out? A lot of people get jazzed up. Some people get tired. I don't know. It's like, it's kind of like how hydrated you are. I have no idea. And like meditation, shutting your brain off. You should smoke weed maybe, Mike. Or no, not smoke. Maybe you should take like an edible because I know that helps a lot of people sleep.
I've actually gotten that advice from other people before. So maybe it's something that I'll look into. I don't know. And then I have moments where I, like, even having this conversation where I'm like, or you could just go to bed, Mike. Like, why? But I don't know.
Do you feel the same thing about the free will of like, this is my time? Or
100%. No, I definitely do. Where I'm like, I don't have to worry about anything right now. I don't have to think about anything. I can just like watch TV and just be by myself. And I've always been that person. I think about when... I mean, when I come visit you, and granted, you guys go to bed a little bit earlier than me because you also have to get up way earlier than me. Yeah. But even then, like, I tend to, like, you guys go to bed and I'm like, I'm going to watch one more thing on TV. I think about when I was in Chile for a friend's wedding, and it was like eight of us, maybe it was six. I don't know. There's like a group of us staying in this house, and I really would wait for everyone to go to bed, and then I would stay up for like 30 more minutes. And it was like strangers. Like I think I knew one person that was staying in the house, but it was still that fun thing of like everyone's in bed, and now I have like me time to like sit by the pool and stare at the, you know, like there's something about it that I really like, that alone time at the end of the night.
Well, maybe so you were night watch back in the day when we were like maybe in our own little tribes and village or whatever. Maybe you were night watch.
Maybe.
Because they did say, they in that masterclass talked about we're genetically predisposed to certain times of sleep. Like some people sleep, you know, early and get up really early. I mean, I think the rhythm I'm in is like basically around 12:30 and I get up around 6:30.
Yeah.
But, you know, who cares? I'm boring. But
no, it's great. I
would love to go to bed earlier though, Mike. So if you figure it out, let me know.
I will. I think that, I mean, I'm amazed that you're able to stay up when you get up at 6:30 in the morning. But I guess, once again, I get up at like 10 or 11 and I stay up until, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Sleep. I'll work on it and I'll see if I make any improvements on my sleeping. There you go. Anything random for us this week?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Because last week I didn't. And I actually figured out what I wanted to say last week. It was a quote, because on my other podcast, we do rom-coms and stuff like that. And in a couple episodes for Rom Crime, we're doing one of Gary Marshall's rom-coms. And he is quoted as saying, and I just love this quote. So this is my random thing from last week. He says, "In the education of the American people, I am recess." I love that. But I love the idea of recess being important.
Yeah, absolutely. He did some good movies. What movie are you guys talking about?
So in a couple weeks, we'll be doing Overboard.
Ah, such a good, ridiculous movie, but good. I love it.
Super problematic now, but really fun to talk about. It was one of my favorites. My mom loved that movie. So it was like we had the VHS, so we watched it, honestly, weekly. We watched that movie. And then I haven't covered it, but I love A League of Their Own.
So good. I mean, that is such a basically perfect movie.
It really is. Oh my god, today my husband, because my son is such a pain in the ass, remember when Tom Hanks is like trying not to yell in A League of Their Own, and Adam, my husband, was like doing just like making me laugh because our kid was being a total dick, and he's like, I think with his fingers face.
In the future, if you could, it's so good. Yeah, anyways. I love both of them. I love Overboard. I can't decide if my favorite line from Overboard is, "If you have a baby, you won't be the baby." Or I also just love it's just her line reading of it. I just ate a bug.
I love when she goes, "Andrew, are you going to bring me lemons, or I'm going to have to squeeze it from my hat?" Yeah. Good. It's good. A lot of quotable lines in there.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I love it.
Fun stuff.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So my other random thing is, and I thought this would be like really fun because it's like truly random, but I love this.
Okay.
How old is the oldest tree, might you ask?
Oh, I have no idea.
The world's 10 oldest living trees. At 4,841 years old, this ancient bristlecone pine is the oldest known non-clonal organism on Earth. Located in the White Mountains of California in Inyo National Forest, Methuselah's exact location is kept a close secret in order to protect it from the public.
Wow, how interesting.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah,
that feels like some mystical, crazy stuff right there. Anyways, I just thought the oldest living tree, so there's a gaggle of them, is almost 5,000 years old.
That's amazing. It's funny because mine has to do with the oldest of something as well.
No
and
way.
That is, yeah, just because on my little walk that I was talking about, we go over, we went over High Bridge. It's the High Bridge and it's in High Bridge Park. And I actually didn't realize this. First of all, it's kind of an intense bridge to go over because it's pretty long and it's not narrow by any means. Like it's probably a good 20 feet wide. And like the railing isn't super high, but there's like a netting that goes higher, but it's also also like not flat, like it's a little bit curved because it was built for the Croton Aqueduct, like to bring water into the city back in the 1840s, 1840s. It was completed in 1848. It's New York City's oldest standing bridge, which I guess I just didn't realize that.
Wow.
And it's very sturdy, but it also feels very, it's a little scary. And one of the times,
Is it sturdy?
One of the, well, now that I'm seeing that it's the oldest, I'm like, whoa, is it sturdy? and it just reopened in 2015, which I also like remember it reopening. I remember it kind of being like a big deal that it had been closed for over 40 years. And one, I will say that one time that I walked over it, it was so windy that I got dizzy. I was like,
oh, I bet you did.
It's going to blow me off. And like literally yesterday walking across it with Ben, I was like, okay, I'm just going to look forward and keep walking. And yeah, it was a little bit. But anyways, it's a cool bridge and it takes you to the Bronx. And it was completed in 1848 and is the oldest New York City bridge that's still standing,
fascinating.
I guess. So there you go.
Super cool.
High bridge. There you go. That was a fun little chat, Vanya. So nice to see you and your beautiful blonde hair.
Oh, you are so sweet. It's good to see you.
I really
always.
Like it. I think it looks really cool. I'm super into it.
All right, I'll keep it. Fine. I love you, Mike Jensen.
I love you too. Thanks to everyone for listening.
That's right.
It's a blast as always.
And
next week, Academy Awards.
That's
we're
right.
We're going to have
we're
a whole lot
ya.
To say.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I like we have an annual Academy Award episode that we
Yay.
Do back next week. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Life or Beth?
Life and Beth.
It's not Life or Beth?
Oh, wait. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because it's like a play on life or death, right? I could be wrong. I'm often wrong.
Yeah, it's Life and Beth.
Oh, it is. See, Life or Beth makes sense to me because you know why? It's a play on a word. I'm like, she's so clever. It is Life and Beth, isn't it? Dang it. So I'm loving the show.